Soma Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I'm just going to read a short excerpt from a chapter from a book that's not published yet. And it's the chapter is called Book Distribution is High Sadhana. In this chapter, I will analyze and give evidence to show how distributing Srila Prabhupada's transcendental literatures is high sadhana. First, because it fully employs all of one's senses and mind in Krishna's service, enabling the distributor to constantly remember him. Second, because it strengthens one's spiritual realizations and softens the heart, increasing its capacity to feel compassion for the suffering of others. Third, because it follows in the footsteps of previous acharyas, giving them and Lord Krishna the greatest pleasure, thereby invoking their blessings. And fourth, because the act of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books itself renders the most confidential service to the Lord. The Sanskrit word sadhana means a method of attaining a precise goal. Srila Prabhupada renders it practice, the definition of which is the regular and repeated performance of an activity in order to acquire or improve one's ability in it. The goal of devotional service and practice is to be eternally situated in the loving service of the Lord and to enjoy spiritual bliss from that service. That's a quote from Prabhupada's books. And a person engaged in sadhana bhakti, one who submits to a bona fide spiritual master in order to learn how to practice devotional service, is called a sadhaka. In the Gita, Lord Krishna urges us to practice devotional service so that we are eventually able to think of him constantly. For example, he says, "My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me." And regarding bhakti yoga or sadhana bhakti, Srila Prabhupada writes, "This practice will not only save one from the reaction of work, but also gradually elevate one to transcendental loving service of the Lord, which alone can raise one to the kingdom of God." The great Acharya Rupa Goswami states in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that sadhana bhakti must be done to please Krishna, and not only with the mind, but also by manual labor. Now let's hear some evidence regarding how distributing Srila Prabhupada's books fully employs the mind and senses in service to Lord Krishna. As one distributes Srila Prabhupada's books, one carries them, shows them to others, and explains their contents, and convinces others to take them. All these activities engage a book distributor's mind in thinking of Krishna and employ his or her working senses in the service of pleasing Krishna, senses in the service most pleasing to Krishna, passing his message on to others. The Padma Purana describes the primary objective of devotional service and practice. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. Srila Prabhupada explains how this instruction applies to distributing his books. Quote, "The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he also may become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yatach charanada vindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the lotus feet of the Lord. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna, This is samadhi, unquote. The word manual, which Srila Prabhupada aptly uses in this purport, comes from the Latin word manus, which means the hands. In other words, manual labor is work done with one's hands and other senses. The Mundaka Upanishad reinforces this idea in relation to devotional service when it enjoins that to learn transcendental knowledge, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master who is fixed in transcendence and who knows the scriptures and, quote, carry firewood in one's hand, samit pani, for one's guru to use in sacrifice. Why firewood? In past ages, a spiritual master would daily prepare and light the sacrificial fire as a means of worshiping God, and his disciples would assist him by collecting wood for the fire. Such manual labor not only humbled the student, opening his heart and mind to the guru's teachings, but also invoked the spiritual master's blessings. Krishna also recommends in the Gita that one approach a guru with a submissive spirit, render service, and inquire from him. Srila Prabhupada explains the importance of submissiveness. His, the Supersoul's existence, can be realized by one who has the single qualification of submissiveness and who thereby becomes a surrendered soul. The development of submissiveness is the cause of proportionate spiritual realization, by which one can ultimately meet the Supreme Lord in person as a man meets another man face to face. Submissive service to one's spiritual master shown by practical work is so important that Lord Krishna himself set the example by personally gathering and carrying firewood to please his spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. Just as the firewood Krishna carried came from trees, the paper from which transcendental books are made today also comes from trees. And just as firewood is carried by hand, so too are these books. In a previous age, fire sacrifice was the recommended process for worshiping the Lord. In Kali Yuga, scriptures prescribe Sankirtan, which includes both congregational chanting of God's names and literary kirtan through the mass distribution of transcendental literature. Therefore, those who produce, transport, and distribute books of the acharyas fulfill the wood-carrying spirit recommended in the Mundaka Upanishad. In Treta Yuga, a qualified Vedic priest could light the daily sacrificial fire by mantra. In Kali Yuga, a book distributor can ignite the sacred fire of knowledge in the hearts of conditioned souls by distributing transcendental literature. And from that fire, invoked by the prescribed sacrifice of the age, the Lord personally appears because, quote, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. What's more, a special joy naturally comes with acts of sacrifice. Krishna describes this in the Gita. Quote, all these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions, and having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifices, they advance toward the supreme eternal atmosphere. Regarding the great sacrifice of distributing his books, Srila Prabhupada remarks, somehow or other, if the book goes in one's hand, he'll be benefited. At least he'll see, I've taken so much price, let me see what is there. If he reads one shloka, his life will become successful. If he reads one shloka, one word, this is such a nice thing. Therefore, we are stressing so much, please distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. When I teach devotees how to distribute books, I tell them, trust the hand. That is, when presenting a book, be sure to place it in the prospective buyer's hand. Let him or her have a tactile experience of the book. Often a prospect thinks, I don't want the book, but his hand overrules his head and grabs for it anyway. After all, it is the inherent nature of a hand to grasp, and when the unwilling person's hand grasps a transcendental book, he is benefited. What's more, upon handling the book, he becomes attached to it, and his mind changes and says, I do want this book. Recently, while going door to door to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, just as I was handing a friendly man at Bhagavad Gita as it is, he was in the process of saying, I'm not interested. Although his tongue had said no, his hands nevertheless took the book. Then after hearing how the Gita had been studied and revered by the likes of Thoreau, Emerson, and Gandhi, and was used in mainstream universities, his mind changed and he purchased the book. In this way, distributing books is practical. The books are touchable and aesthetically pleasing to the eye and mind, and can be carried from place to place. A distributor uses all his senses when showing a book to someone, directly and tangibly connecting that soul to Krishna. I write this just having returned from my home in Burlingame, California, from the annual Jagannath Rathayatra Festival in Los Angeles. During the procession, a group of young, enthusiastic devotees worked hard together as a team to distribute nearly 20,000 books. After the event, one of the book distributors calculated that the weight of all those books had been nearly 3 tons. He also remarked that his team members were blissful but also physically tired and sore from having packed, transported, and distributed 3 tons of books in one day. In America, when someone does some substantial work, people often say, "He did the heavy lifting." Distributing Srila Prabhupada's books is heavy lifting for Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Such work for the sake of expanding the mission perfectly fits the prescription for devotional service given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Sri Rupa's definition of devotional service includes the word anushilanam. The word shil means to work or to contemplate, and anu means to follow. In other words, devotional service includes activities of physical work and contemplation that follow the mood and method of our previous acharyas. Commenting on Rupa's definition of sadhana bhakti, both Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami state that one should not only perform mental service to the Lord as in meditating on him, but also engage one's physical body in service, just as Rupa and his brother Sanatan did while living in Vrindavan. Although both are eternal associates of the Lord and have their spiritual forms in Goloka, while they lived in earthly Vrindavan, they performed practical service to Mahaprabhu using their physical senses. Srila Prabhupada uses the term exegetical endeavor to describe one aspect of Srila Rupa and Sanatan's practical service to Mahaprabhu. In other words, the Goswamis produced handwritten copies of books that would eventually establish Lord Chaitanya's teachings all over the world. And as mentioned in the Bhakti Ratnakar, after the disappearance of Rupa and Sanatan, their exalted nephew, Sri Jiva Goswami, not only wrote extensively, but also engaged his disciples, Narottam, Srinivas, and Shyamananda, in the hands-on work of distributing the books written by all of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. During Srila Prabhupada's presence, he often stressed that distributing his books fully engages one's bodily limbs and senses in service to Krishna and simultaneously trains one's mind, the center of all the senses, to think of Krishna. The secret is that as book distributors hear and chant about Krishna, they also think about how to pass on what they have heard for the benefit of others. And if a learned devotee fails to use the knowledge so gained to relieve the distressed condition of human society, such unused knowledge and power diminish, just like water leaks out of a cracked pot. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada writes, one should submissively receive the transcendental messages from spiritually advanced sources and chant the very same messages for one's own benefit as well as the benefit of one's audience. In this way, progressive book distributors stay absorbed in Krishna Katha by continuously hearing and then preparing themselves to present what they've heard concisely and convincingly. Indeed, by repeatedly presenting the books, a devotee assimilates this knowledge and becomes eloquently persuasive in presenting the Krishna conscious philosophy. Moreover, by answering persistent objections, book distributors tend to clear their own doubts and fortify their own faith in the process. In all these ways, distributing transcendental literature elevates a devotee's sadhana. When presented with a book, people often say, "No thanks, I'm fine." Ever hear that? Upon hearing this, I think of these stanzas from Srila Prabhupada's poem, Vrindavani Bhajan. Quote, "A chronically ill patient lies upon his bed, suffering intense pain, but he smiles and laughs as he tells his visitors, 'Today, I am doing fine.' All this, his talk about doing fine really makes me laugh out loud. That is the fine of the spirit soul who is truly bound up in Maya's gross illusion. The routine ways in which people dismiss a distributor remind him of the pervasive power of Maya, who lulls the conditioned soul into thinking, I am fine. To confront varieties of philosophical arguments is a good thing. Kaviraj Goswami says that a devotee benefits by discussing the details of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, especially with those who hold opposing views, for by doing so one attains well-reasoned faith. Quote, a sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial, for such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus one's mind becomes attached to Sri Krishna. And in a similar vein, Srila Prabhupada writes, one can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Regularly explaining the essence of transcendental philosophy not only strengthens one's mind, but also increases one's thirst to know more. I find that as I walk away from an encounter with someone adamantly opposed to the idea of God, who refused even to look at a book about Krishna, my desire to read the book increases, and I think, let me not become a blind rejecter. My desire to read these books also increases when I meet a person who is grateful and enthusiastic to accept the book. At those times, I think, I wish I were as keen as this person to read this book. In either case, I become more eager to hear and to brainstorm various ways to make the subject matter interesting and relevant to others in the future. It goes on from there, but this chapter, as you can tell from the title, is about how book distribution is high sadhana. It not only is a service, but it is a service that particularly engages all of our senses in a very practical way. It follows in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, and it connects one to Krishna in a very intimate way. So first and foremost, our book distribution is for self-purification. And there are many services that one can do for Krishna, and they are absolute. But there's something special about the particular process of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books that he emphasized was particularly dear to him and beneficial for those who do it. So I feel happy and honored to be with this team of devotees who are working together in an organized way to increase the book distribution here in Canada. And it's having an effect on people all over the world. And it's a volunteer organization. I was just talking to someone today about the book From Good to Great. It was a very popular book, and it was about the greatest corporations in the world and what makes them great, the specific qualities in them. There's a lot of good corporations, but there's some that are great in the way they're managed, in the way the efficiencies they've achieved and so forth. And then the author was asked, why don't you write something about nonprofit organizations and charities and things like that and churches? And when he looked at it, he realized he had to rewrite, he had to make a completely different book because people are motivated by something very different in a volunteer organization. In fact, who was telling me today? Yeah, you're studying human resource management. And you were saying that people are motivated by money in the professional sector, but in volunteer organizations, there's a completely different motivation. It has to come from an inspiration to do the right thing. And so this book distribution that we're doing is really coming from the devotees' taste that they're getting and their appreciation for what they've gotten from Bhagavad Gita. Why would you sell Bhagavad Gita if you didn't love it? You'd think of doing something else. Why would you take the trouble to interrupt the the flow of somebody else's thought to say, hold on a second, take a look at this, unless you were appreciating it yourself. And so what motivates all of us to do this service of book distribution is coming from the spiritual platform. It's ruchi, it's a taste for the books and the process of devotional service and so forth. So how's it going? And do you have realizations or questions? Yes. He was asking what I'm reading from. I'm reading from the manuscript of a book I'm writing. It's called, anyway, I just have a working title for it right now called, yeah, The Great Art of Book Distribution, which is a phrase Prabhupada used. Now, when you take that microphone, you got to hold it right on your chin. It's got to touch your chin right under your lip, and then you know, a little higher. There you go, perfect. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for asking. Time frames are what I'm looking for these days to write, actually. So I'm being highly pressured to take time off and not travel so much and things like that. So I need uninterrupted time to write. So anyway, that's not an answer to your question. The answer to your question is, this year sometime, if I can get some time to write. Hare Krishna. We're working on it. Thank you for your encouragement. Do you have any questions or do you want to? Yes, please. Hare Krishna. You want to jack his mic up a little bit? Can it be bumped up? Yeah, so we... Yes. Yes.
And I was thinking maybe some people could get those literatures for the internet. What do you think?
They could get what for the internet?
Much shorter for those books.
Yes. Yes.
So I was trying to not sell this video. So, but I see that it's not the same like when I approach people directly on the street. They give money, information, and I feel appreciated that kind of exchange of energy. But when I distribute the digital net, it's kind of...
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, first of all, the one-on-one contact that we have with people, it can never be replaced because that leaves an impression that is indelible. And if you ask devotees when they first got started in devotional service, many will tell you that they met a devotee somewhere that had an impression on their heart and mind. And a lot of people will buy books on the internet, but they have to be kind of looking for it, or we can try to attract them in different ways. But Lord Nityananda's program was to chase after people, and I mean, not literally, I'm not advocating we actually literally chase after people, but in the sense we're going out into public and we're meeting people, and we're actually, think about it, interrupting the flow of their life to introduce something else. That's what we're really doing. And if we hadn't done that, they never would have got the chance. If we don't say, hey, I'm from California, where are you from? Oh, by the way, good to see you. Here, take this. You know, we're really saying, what you're doing right now is going nowhere. Let me show you somewhere else, a different direction you can go. And giving them that information, and we're passing them information from outside the closed system. So the one-on-one contact is vital and can never be replaced. And Prabhupada speaks about this, for instance, in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, in Prahlad's prayers. He talks about how, and Prahlad says that some yogis go up to the mountains and they meditate and so forth. He said they may not be successful in their spiritual life because they're not showing compassion. But those who are really advanced, they like to come into the big cities and they want to live amongst the big population so they can give Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, in his purport, talks about door-to-door. I mean, you can't be more face-to-face than that. That's what it means, door-to-door. You're actually going to where they live and saying, hi, we're going to give you something new here. So that's very important. There are devotees making progress on the internet. In India, there's a couple of devotees have the Bhakti Mall, and they're actually selling books on the internet. And I've seen other devotees selling books on the internet. The fact is, as you know, the third law of book distribution is? The more you show, the more you show. Can you say the whole thing? Yeah, and that's a fact. And if you just make a presence on the internet and you start showing the books, you'll sell some. And then if you perfect it more and more, you could sell a lot. There's no bar to that. It's a good point. Questions? Yes.
Something that I noticed, if I go to a regular location, Krishna always sends somebody. And in the current level of development that I'm experiencing, I feel very discouraged by the number of people that walk by, say, I don't have time for this, and feel a sense of loss that I need to connect. And the only thing I'm aware of is being regular in one location where Krishna is sending people. Have anything to say about how to overcome the feeling of loss and separation.
Well, manage your expectations and change your definition of what success is. So when I go out, if I'm thinking everyone needs to stop and take a book, that's unreasonable. According to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Out of the whole population of people, there's only a few that are interested in spiritual life at all, and out of those, there are only a few devotees. So it's a rare person who will stop and have some interest. Keep that in mind. And also, just the fact that you're out there is success. You don't have to sell a certain number of books or the expectation. It's self-purification we're going out for. And in a practical way, I used to go out by myself a lot because I had a spot to distribute books at the San Francisco airport. It was a great spot. We had they used to have these insurance booths at airports. I think they have mostly machines now, but they had actually agents that would sell travel insurance to people from behind a booth. And they gave us one of those booths. So we practically lived and worked at the airport. And we had all our books behind the counter, and we would stop people. And I had a couple of devotees working with me, but then they had to leave and go to other places. So I was alone for a couple of years. And when you're alone and you go out on book distribution, that feeling can be even a little more daunting, that everyone's walking by me. It's you and your mind against the world. And so I made this little chart. And on the chart, I had six categories. And one was that people wouldn't look at me when I called them. And the other one was they look at me and keep walking. And the other one was they look at me, come over, see what I had, and then walk away. And the other one was they look at me, come over, look at the book carefully, and then walk away. And the fifth category was they come over, look at the book, and then give a donation of any kind. And the sixth category was they look at me, come over, look at the book, and then give a huge donation. So I had these six categories I figure out. These are the six possible scenarios when I call somebody. So then I kept the chart right on my desk because I was working behind a desk, a table at the airport. And every time I called somebody, I just make a little check mark on the graph, a little tally. And so I didn't care which box it was in. I just cared that I made a tally, because as long as I was calling people, there was going to be a tally somewhere on the chart. And I collected all these charts, and I noticed that it all eventually came out the same in a given day. I mean, there was a certain number of people that said, and it was a little bit larger number, that didn't look, or that looked and walked away and so forth. But there was always the same amount after a certain number of hours that came over, looked, took a book, gave a donation, or gave a huge donation. So when you're dealing with your mind and you're seeing people go by, you just have to factor in what are the odds of somebody stopping. And the other technique that I've used over the years is I've discovered, because this body is basically a machine, it's a biomachine. That's why we eat biofuel every day. And I don't know if you realize this, but right in the back of your neck, you can feel for it right now. Just try and see if you can. There's a little switch back there. It's like a little light switch. And you can flip it. You flip the switch, and you can turn off your emotions and become an automaton, like a robot. So whenever I get these emotions that, you know, oh, people don't like me, they're not going to stop, I'm all emotional, I just reach back and I flip the switch and they say, I don't have any feelings, I'm a robot. I'm going out and doing my duty, and I don't care who says what or who stops or whatever. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. And you can try flipping that switch and then do what you have to do and don't be attached to the results at all, just like a robot would not be attached. And some of those techniques will serve you well, so please try them. What else?
I had a question. I have one from Roman, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah.
He does, because I know, you know, we distribute a lot of books, and eventually somebody reads them. But he does a whole, he goes to different, hippie kind of music fests, and he will spend sometimes, you know, time, and he'll get contacts. I mean, he'll stay in touch with people. He has a whole email list. What do you think about taking the time to do that? Is it something?
Yeah, it's very important. It is. It's very important. And the first thing you have to take time for is figuring out how you're going to follow up with them. If you have lots of time and bandwidth, and you can personally follow up with each person, for instance, take their email and call them, stay in touch and keep a list, that's the best way. I've interviewed a lot of devotees who do this kind of sankirtan, especially in Italy for years, under Sundararupa Maharaj. They developed a really thorough follow-up system. At one devotee, Anakadundubi, he goes door to door, and he's very strict in his follow-up. So he showed me his whole system, and he explained to me that experimenting over the years, he found out that the best follow-up systems are the ones that are the most personal. That is, that the person who met them follows up with them and keeps in touch with them. He said, but there's a limit how many you can do in being personal, because how many people can you keep in touch with? There's physically a limitation. But if that's one way you can do it, is each devotee, you know, knows how many people they can actually follow up with, and they do that themselves. You do that a lot. You take care of a lot of people personally, right? How many people can you take care of? Above 100, you have to get a little more impersonal. So, like that. And then there are other ways. I mean, I saw a couple years ago on the Warp Tour, the devotees go around to these concerts. They're called they're Warp concerts, and they're all over the country during the summertime, and they have these bands that play that attract young people, and so tens of thousands of young people come to each location. And the person who runs the whole show really likes the devotees and has given us a free behind-the-scenes passes. He wants the devotees to come in and distribute books to the young people. So they have vanfuls of devotees that follow these all over the country. And they go inside. And a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, we had a team of devotees who were just there to follow up and collect names. And they were able to collect about 5,000 names. They had a little tent outside. But the only problem is nobody followed up after they got the names, because that's the hard part. I mean, getting names is not that hard. You can get them, write them down, put them in a computer, put them in a spreadsheet, whatever you want to put it in. But then the personal follow-up, someone's actually got to spend the time and talk to them and deal with them the way you do, right? You actually walk three people through, you preach to them, you talk to them on the internet and on the phone and things like that, right? And so it comes down to personal contact. You can put them on a mailing list or a drip system or something like that where they get a, you know, spiritual message. That takes a little more planning and thought. But the less personal it is, the less effective it is. That's been our experience. Besides, questions would also take your realizations or experiences on book distribution. Rath Yatra is such a great place for distributing mercy. We notice that, you know, when the parade comes down the street, it opens up this corridor of a special wave of mercy for people, and they get interested in, even like it says in the Shastra, that if someone sees the Rath Yatra procession, they get liberation. So many people, thousands of people, are watching the Rath Yatra go by, and they're in a liberated state. At that point, it's a really good idea to give them a book, some prasadam, and so forth. I heard that you're all doing that here for the Rath Yatra, that it's becoming more and more, you're doing more and more books during the Rath Yatra parade. Is that right? How many, Radha Mohan Prabhu?
Seven thousand.
3,500 bags. Two books a bag. Nice. That's big. What else?
I find that the yoga sankirtan actually helps me the most.
Microphone. It helps you the most. Oh, good. Hare Krishna. Go ahead. Hold the microphone really close.
Yeah, there are a couple of experiences that happened to me twice actually in Sankirtan, where like the traffic lights happened like last year and this last month also. There was a lady who wanted to cross the traffic lights, and some of the signal just turned red. Like, she rejected me, she didn't want to take the book, and the signal turned red. And then, you know, she looked at me, I looked at her. And then, you know, like, I had gain of the Buddha. Because that she had time to look at the Buddha, she looked at the Buddha. The same thing happened. We went to the Kensington Market, the Chinese market. We were standing there, and she was just passing by. There was one gentleman. And same thing happened. So I was just, it reminded me of the same incident that happened, like, last year. So I thought, wow. If Krishna wanted somebody like a book, nobody can stop.
That's really nice.
We cannot do anything. So we're just a medium, you know. So we just have to be there to distribute books.
That's nice. Really nice. Let's give him a hand for that one. Okay, Radha Mohan Prabhu, your experience, realization, give us some insight. Something that happened. We're going around now, in case you can't tell. The microphone's coming to you next. Okay. We're going around the room. So let's go clockwise.
My name is Lalita.
Hare Krishna.
I find pleasure when somebody looks at the book and takes the book. If I force him to take the books and he buys the books, I don't find that type of pleasure. But if somebody turns the pages and look at the books, and whatever I give the brief of the books at the beginning, he listens carefully, and then he decides to take the book. And what pleasures I get it when he takes the books, that pleasure I don't get it from anything else.
Haribo! Mataji's back there, we missed her. So we want to say a special prayer for all those who are those Spanish speakers in the whole entire region of Ontario? All the Spanish speakers in Ontario, one big Hari Bol with a desire that every one of them can get one of Prabhupada's books. One, two, three. Hari Bol! That was really good, what you just said. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I'll just add the importance of kirtan really helps also. Just having kirtan and book distribution together, that really kirtan becomes a glue, and so many people get attracted to the holy name, and it's also fun and like a lot of fun for devotees to be together and singing. And we always see a good correlation between book distribution and chanting, as you always taught us.
Yeah, the combination is it protects the devotees who are distributing, and at the same time, when the devotees who are chanting see the devotees distributing books, they become even more inspired. What are we going to do time-wise? It's like 10 to 8. What's the schedule?
8:30.
Okay. Mataji?
Really enlightening, but it takes so much courage to go out.
Nice point. Actually, the hardest part of book distribution is going out the door. After that, the rest becomes natural, is a natural flow. The mind tends to put up a barrier that it's going to be hard, right? But I'll teach you a mantra that really helps. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'll say the mantra, please repeat. Book distribution is fun and easy.
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 So you can spread that mantra around when you meet people. You can tell them about that. Thank you. That was really a heartfelt sharing of realization. Beautiful. Who's next? Yes, Hare Krishna.
So I was waiting for a long time and like my friend showed up and like he's asking like what are you doing in this street? And I'm like I'm just reading books of yoga. And he just gave one book and like he looked at it and like, you know what, I'll support you, I'll take one and like if you chant and give me a donation.
Haribo! Krishna's special arrangement. Who's next? Yes. Hare Krishna.
I really like, I already have an experience online, but just a reflection that I really like your illustration of books as a firewood. And it made me think about how knowledge really fuels our bhakti. And without it, without knowing or really, if someone says that I'm spiritual, if they don't know what spirituality is, they can't really say that they're spiritual. And that's what gives us that. The books are what give us the stability to be spiritual. And it also, in my mind, I was thinking about how if books are firewood, and I was thinking of the correlation as Prabhu compared the correlation between books and kirtan together, Sukriti sparks in the heart that we have enough to, by hearing it through the holy name, we have the Sukriti to appreciate. And then the book gives us that potential to be able to take that Sukriti and make something out of it.
Wow. Really profound realizations. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Got a moment. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I think the feeling and the process of book distribution is very purifying. Especially when you're a new book distributor, when you go out and give a book, you're a little shy and people are not very reciprocative. And you also are not very sure what to pretend and things like that. So you get a lot of criticism. Not criticism, your people are not very reciprocative.
I teach you one mantra that we use in when we distribute books in India, and it worked really well. A couple of years ago, last few years we've been doing, during the last Ekadashi and Kartik, we distribute books in front of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And when 3 years ago we distributed 1,000, our goal was to distribute 1,000 books in one day, 1,008 books. And so now we were distributing a lot of Gitas, and there were mostly Hindus coming through, And so we'd hand them the book, and as we're handing them the book, we say, "This is not for you. This is not for you." Because they're about to, you know, take the book and they're about to say, "I already have this." This is, and as we're handing it over, "This is not for you. This is not for you." And they're about to say their objection, and you counteract it, "Not for you, not for you." And then they take it with a confused look on your face. And we say, "You already know Bhagavad Gita. You already have the Bhagavad Gita. Your mother knows Bhagavad Gita. Your father knows Bhagavad Gita. So this is not for you." And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the one who gives this to others is the most dear to him. So somebody just came along and they donated so we can give this to you, to pass on to one of your friends who doesn't know about Bhagavad Gita. And now we're giving you the opportunity to carry it forward, and you can give something so we can pass on another one to somebody else. And then we hold out the hundi, because they understand what a hundi is. And then they put the money in the hundi. But you can try that when you hand over books to Indians. And the other thing, when I go door to door and we meet Indians, I never hand them a book first. I always stand at the doorway and I just chat. "So how are you? What are you doing? How have you been?" Everything like that. They ask me what we're doing. I say, "Well, what we're doing is we're, as you know Bhagavad Gita," I tell them that. And I say, "We're teaching people who don't know about Bhagavad Gita." I say, "We have Bhagavad Gita not just in English, but also in Spanish, in Mandarin, in Vietnamese," and I name all these languages because all these people don't know about it. So we're teaching the Bhagavad Gita to them, and we're starting schools, and we're raising money today so we can support those. So they say, "What do we want? What do you want?" They say, "We just want money." And they go, "Oh, fine, that's okay." But if you hand them the book first and it's a sale or a tit for tat, they'll like, it's almost like insulting to them in a way. So those are a couple of tips. However, we have had phenomenal success recently with distributing full sets of Chaitanya Charitamritas and Srimad Bhagavatam sets. And a lot of the people who take them are Indian families. When we go door to door, there are certain people, when they open the door and they see that they're spiritual people outside, they say, "Come in." They feel it from their heart, or they just feel culturally that they should invite you in, right? So when we go in, we take the full set of Bhagavatams with us, and then we start presenting. And right before Gaur Purnima, we sold 192 sets of Chaitanya Charitamritas. 60 of them were door-to-door. Another 30 were at corporate, because a lot of the devotees go to work and then they talk to their co-workers and say, "You should take a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas." And the other 92 we sold on the night of the Gaur Purnima to the audience, to the crowd. And so door-to-door with Bhagavatam sets and Chaitanya Charitamritas is very successful. The main principle is that you just have to bring it with you. You can't show them a paper and say it's somewhere else because they'll say, "I'll get it later." But if you physically bring it in somebody's house and start taking it out of the box, then it's really hard for them to get it out. It's just like in India, there's a rule. If you buy a piece of property, next thing you do is you establish the deity. Once you install the deity, nobody can move it, and it's your property, right? So that's the principle. You bring it in, and the books get established inside the house. Couple of thoughts. Pardon? Well, you can get some wheels, some kartamara. So we're going to offer our obeisances to deities and then continue with class because they're doing a silent artik, if that's okay. So come back in a couple minutes. Thank you.
by the way, this is something that I noticed that I can share when I'm not just totally happy.
So the kind of discussion we're having right now is transcendental kirtan, which is very pleasing to the deities because we're discussing the Brihat Madanga, how to glorify the Lord in ways that people all over the universe get to hear about him. So we'll continue with Anshul. Looks like you're next. You make friends with people you meet out there?
I mean, yeah, to an extent that too, but more so like the devotees who I'm going
I see. The camaraderie, you become close.
I'm inspired by them and also to the devotees who lead us and help us out. So that sort of is
vital. It's a really nice point, and that's why we have the Sankirtan party and a team. And I notice in my life that the devotees that I spent time with in my early devotional life going on Sankirtan with, we went through many challenges, and you know, we saw how we each had dedication and so forth. So whenever I see them years later, there's an immediate closeness because we were in the trenches together, and you have a natural affection for those people. You know, nice point, Anshul. Thank you very much.
So organization. Sankirtan helps me to give up sense of false ego and more. So then Sankirtan becomes easier. And it's like a glimpse of the spiritual world. It happens once you start the street books and you become very small. So you approach the crowd, show yourself as significant. Sometime, and as a result, you feel so like peaceful, and as a result, you feel closer to Srila Prabhupada, your spiritual master. And once you see all books, I don't know, my sense of false ego comes back. So,
false ego.
It's my realization. One of the that kind of understanding and feeling what is spiritual world. Because we need to know, we need to know what is spiritual world, not just in theory, but purely. And simply done, actually for me, I don't know about others, but for me it gives and practical feeling. So
Nice. My godbrother Rameshwar Prabhu gave a class in New Vrindavan recently. He was talking about how when in this lifetime we practice something for a long time, it becomes, we get muscle memory for it. Have you ever noticed that? Like, you know how to do certain things and they go pretty much automatically. And so he was pointing out that according to Shastra, we've been practicing sense gratification and allowing the false ego to dominate us. We've been practicing that for many, many millions of lifetimes. So the fact that in this short span of time that we've been practicing devotional service, there's a reversion to that, you know, false ego or the, you know, natural way of enjoying the senses because I've been practicing it for so long, is not surprising. So that's one explanation. There's a lot of muscle memory in there. Thank you for your very deep insights, proving once again that book distribution is high sadhana. Thank you. Yes. Krishna, quickly fulfill all your desires for expanding your service. Thank you very much. That was really nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I think maybe one realization and one sort of overall experience. The overall experience I find when we go on book distribution that really hits me is we find a lot of children who want to take the books, but their parents don't. And so you find these young children, as young as 2 to even 16, who really want the book, and it becomes sort of like a situation where they want the book, and the parents say no, and finally, in many cases, we're able to have the parent take the book, and the child is glowing. And so you see these young children who are driving the force towards Krishna consciousness, and a lot of times we use that, hey, parent, you'd easily go and buy a burger or pizza or a movie ticket or whatever, which costs X number of dollars, and here your child wants a spiritual treasure. You know, he's glowing by taking this. And then they, many times flip a switch, a lot of times they don't as well, but you know, there it is. And on some occasions we've actually given a small book to a child and a parent is just saying no, but you know the child wants it, so, you know, that hopefully will make a difference down the road. So that's just an experience that we see a lot. Mm. And a realization I find is that when you're on book distribution, it actually makes your sadhana and your knowledge stronger, because we get a lot of challenges from people and they're arguing with you and challenging you. And you really need to have your knowledge, your steadfastness to be able to speak back. Because if you're weak with that, then you cannot distribute a book, and book distribution causes you to be stronger on that side too. Because if you're going out, you know, hey, you might be challenged.
Yeah. Really nice points. That the two things, the hearing and chanting and the book distribution, complement one another. It's sort of it's a synergistic process. To get ready for book distribution, you hear and chant. While you hear and chant, it makes you hungry to also do more hearing and chanting. Nice. Thank you very much. Yeah, and that dynamic is always interesting, too, about... we've had so many experiences. I remember at O'Hare Airport, sometimes either the husband or the wife would be standing outside the restrooms waiting for a spouse. And meanwhile, we'd show the book and they'd get interested. And even sometimes they would be in the process of taking out their wallet to give a donation. Then the spouse would come out and say, "You don't want that. Put your wallet away. Take the book back," and they'd walk away. And it gave us this sense of urgency that... don't take it for granted that this whole transaction is going to happen. You know, when you're able to complete it without anybody interrupting it, it's actually a real boon. Thank you, Arusha.
And that really inspires me, and I haven't been able to go as much after the baby came, but there were been a few occasions where we did bundle him out, even in the middle of winter, and we took him on. Having the baby with us, or in the cold, distributing books, I think people would come up and wonder why we're standing on the baby. And even Mount Robert had said that the first time we went on the little, he was just 2 months old, and... he said he probably distributed the most books on that day in a really long time because people were coming up to him to ask about the baby. And so we're going to use that as long as we can.
Jai. Good work, Vittel. Yes, you.
And the other thing is, every time I see a book going, when somebody takes a book, I always wonder, that is the beginning of that person's spiritual life. If not for them right now, that book is going to fall into somebody else's hand. And, it's just exciting, just thinking about, okay, what's going to happen next in that person's life. Just quickly, Marlon had received an email that he was last week about these two brothers who were thieves. And they used to break into people's houses and steal all the valuables.
Yeah.
And then on one day they broke into a house and they got disturbed because the owners came back. And one brother just saw a book on the table and he grabbed it. And so they got into the car and the second brother asked him, "Did you get anything? What did you get?" And so they got a book. And he says, "All things, you picked up a book. Couldn't you take something more valuable?" And so the brother started reading it and then the other brother started reading it and they both are now initiated to work.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's amazing that you hear such amazing stories about how people came to the cultural service because of one book. Maybe it doesn't come to them directly. So for me, when I see a book going, when somebody takes a book from me, I know that it's beneficial to the person who has taken the book because they get some sympathy for it. But it may not be the start of their devotional life at that moment, but it's definitely going to fall into somebody's hand and it's going to be the start of something.
Really nice points. Well put. I just want to mention you said that it's how much you enjoy being with the Sankirtan team because it work, goes out like clockwork. And I wanted to tell you that not all book distribution programs work like clockwork. And we notice the difference. It takes a lot of work to get to where you... It's taken a lot of work to get to where you all are now. Incremental improvements is the only way to do it. It can't happen all at once. And we notice it when we travel and we go to places that haven't evolved as much. And, you know, we see all the gaps and the inefficiencies and we know how long it takes. So you can really appreciate what your team has done here to come to this point of having such efficiency that you can go out like clockwork. It's really a luxury. Thank you. Really solid, nice points. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, I'm going to share an experience and realization from that. As everyone is talking about kids, recently you took all the kids, three of mine, three Nakshis, out on a picnic outing. And since the kids are growing up, we weren't sure how they'll react to being on the street. So I was a little nervous, not sure as time behind and all that. But when we were out there, it was so nice to see that how easily they owned the Sankirtan. My son was holding the books, ready to distribute. The girls were so excited and eager to hand out prasadam without hesitation, without me giving them any cues or tips or anything. So I think it's very important if we are part of Sankirtan ourselves, and staying in Krishna conscious, it's very important to get kids involved because then it comes to that easy just by seeing it rather than us telling them what to do. So the realization is that it is important to take kids out, tell them how important it is distributing books. And it's very, very gratifying as a mother to see that they were at ease distributing books and shouting.
I like your point very much. We've noticed the same thing at our center at ISV. I think we have about 70 kids now that attend, at least 70 kids. And they have their own team, their own Sankirtan team. And they take 20% of our marathon goals. And so they vow, the kids vow that they will do 20% of the book. Sometimes that's a lot because, you know, say we're doing 25,000 Bhagavad Gitas for the holiday marathon. So that means they do about 5,000 books. And they love it. They live for it, you know, to go out and do this book. Of course, they go out with their parents and everything. And I was just writing in the book about how sometimes parents are eager for their children to get an education, which is a good idea, you know, get an MBA, something like that. But this is better. We notice that the kids who learn how to do Sankirtan, actually sell books, they know all these things. They have street smarts. They know how to communicate. They know how the modes of nature work, and they know you know, how to do commerce, organize things, organize parties and things like that. So it's a very beneficial education for kids. Let's hear it for the kids. Hari Bol! Thank you.
Encourage me because I wanted to give out a book. and eventually I was able to do that, give up that first thought. And ever since, you give up the first thought, and I felt like you feel even more eager to give up more thoughts. And one of the things that really motivated me is that even when you get rejections, you get many rejections more than you can give out books, is that it helps you become more humble, because those rejections make you realize how much of a big ego that I have, I personally have, that I lack humility. So it really teaches me to become humble, because it teaches me that I need to learn to give it up, even those rejections. And Mahabharata Guru was saying that he was teaching you that even though when you give up books, you get these rejections, they also help you, like as you were saying, that it helps you self-cleanse. And I always hope that I can give out a book to anyone, hoping that, or even not just a book, like Distribute Prasadam or Sing Harinam, and hopefully someone on the street will just hear that, and it will plant the seed in their heart, and hopefully someday it will grow into a tree, like Arusha was saying, that the thieves who took the book ended up reading it, and so he came to bodies. So, yeah, it's a very fun experience, and it helps us grow spiritually.
Haribo! Haribo! Hare Krishna.
There's a lot of nectar asking devotees how they heard about Krishna. And in that last time I found 60%, 70% of the people that I asked what devotees on saying.
Hare Krishna. Brahmacharis.
So one recent realization I had is that book this distribution is about long-term friend-raising and not short-term fundraising. And the experience connected with this happened as we were coming yesterday on the bus. There was a guy that had met us 5 years ago in Guelph. And when he saw us, he was very enthusiastic. And he came over and he devoured all the rest of our posado. And he sat with us for a couple of hours. And it was amazing how the relationship was like right there. It was a continuation, almost like we had just seen each other yesterday. So I had that realization yesterday.
Nice point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I've seen how going out regularly, that the same time makes the more auspicious. Like every day, I'm noticing that people are reciprocating more. Even going to the same spot over and over again, that the reciprocation is actually increasing instead of like instead of wearing out a spot. I just have one small story that just illustrating how Srila Prabhupada's books are very potent. We were chanting, and there was one kind of like a street person who came up. He was very loud and obnoxious. He started like just kind of like yelling at us, basically, but like asking us questions. So I was trying to just give him some prasad so that he'd be satisfied and go away. But he was asking, you guys have the book, you know, like the Quran and the Bible? So I was like, yeah, we have the book. So I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and he took it. He sat down right in front of the Haranam party. He sat down on the ground, and then he took out some hand sanitizer, and he sanitized his hands. He's not going to get anything, you know, it's just like, it's just going to be, and then after 10 minutes, he just shuts the book, he stands up, he looks at us and he says, so you guys are devotees of Krishna, and Krishna is the Godhead, the supreme Godhead, and the purpose of life is to serve him, and we gave the book back to us and left.
These days I'm getting so much materially entangled, so sometimes
Haribo. Pass the mic.
I'm interested to hear from you.
Well, I just wanted to let Randini and Papa know when we were in the hallway today with Cavallini, who's been doing book distribution steadily for over 40 years, she actually said, the hardest thing for me is getting out the door. And that's someone who has probably done, I mean, steadily, she's never given it up, maybe a little bit to, you know, when she had her kids. But so if that's always there. And I know as Prabhu, you know, he's got ways that, you know, he just gets his mind to you know, cooperate. So that's always there. It's really true what he said, just getting out the door a lot of times. And a lot of times we get questions from people, from devotees a lot of times, who are skeptical about book distribution. And one of the things they ask is, you know, but do people really read them? Do you actually make devotees? And in our, maybe some of you are even here because you've got a book and read a book. But I know in our temple, there are many devotees who got a book from a smart box or a devotee on the street. We recently had someone who got a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. And when the devotees sell a set of Bhagavatams door to door, they do an installation, and as part of the installation, they go around and everybody reads a paragraph from the first canto, including the family, so it starts it. And this man started reading the Bhagavatam every day, and he wasn't vegetarian, and he, you know, he was thinking of becoming one, and one night his wife served him some meat, and he said he got sick. And he couldn't, and after that, he couldn't eat it anymore. And now he comes to the temple and he's chanting japa, and he's reading Bhagavatam every day. And if they hadn't knocked on his door, you know, or you know, sometimes the devotees they'll stop a car and, you know, do it that way, drive through. So it really one book. And like Arusha was saying, sometimes it's not even that person. They may take that book home and put it on their shelf. We have devotees at the temple who do were given a book by their mother who was, you know, it was on her shelf for 40 years, or a mother's friend, you know, who, you know, think that, you know, this younger person may be interested in this book. So there are in the 70s, the devotees in L.A. did a little slideshow called Time Bomb. And it showed how the book went from one person to another, and then all of a sudden this family who, you know, was smoking and drinking and everything else, but it was devotees playing the part, became, you know, Krishna conscious. But it really is that way. It's kind of timing. Books touch so many lives, we just don't know. And I'm so grateful to see such nice, sincere devotees carrying this mission of Srila Prabhupada on, and you all have the taste and the passion for this. It really inspires me. Thank you.
Haribo!
And Krishna, I wanted to share the story that I read in Sharif Zio, and the story inspires me all the time. So I got very sad and I walked down the street and I sit and I took out my pipak and I started to chant. And I was praying that Krishna will send somebody. It's my problem. So as soon as I stopped praying, I saw a lady coming to me and she was waving her hand and she says to me, Hare Krishna. I was so excited, I said to her, Hare Krishna, how do you know? And she says, oh, I'm a Prabhupada disciple. She says, what are you doing here? I said, my friends on Sankirtan and they all the books and I can't do anything. She says, and then she told me that Lord Nityananda got hit by two guys. I don't know their names. Yeah. But still, Nityananda forgave them. And she says, when you will not afraid of getting hit by others on the street, and you will learn how to forgive, only then you will come to Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Arriba!
On the second day that I joined in 1970.
Hare Mama.
That's the way it was. That was the culture. That was our main activity. And I see a major transition that's happened from then until now in the way that the public views us and even the authorities. There were times when people didn't understand us. And I remember being pushed against the wall at Yamangalur by a police officer. I was arrested, put in the Don Valley jail. And, police making fun of us and talking a bit about authorities, like saying things, hey, what's that crap on your forehead? It's a bird turd. You know, like there wasn't much maturity for their side, and I say, to a large extent, we were also immature in some ways in our approach. Our excuse was that we were young and we didn't really have much life experience with business or, you know, dealing with people. But we were sincere, and we got the books out, and we got the magazines out. Back to God, the magazine was 25 cents, and we did distribute them fast. That was a gem to distribute Back to God magazines. So that's a cultural adjustment right there. But now, the few times that I've been out with you, Bruce, lately, just because I'm, you know, traveling a lot these days, that's my big excuse. Those people are very friendly. They've got to understand us. The world has changed. The world's more multicultural. We're part of the mosaic. At one time, they were now nasty, sinister cult members. And we're not that anymore, at least in the city of Toronto. And walking across Canada, I'm really surprised even these real small hate towns, like in the Bible, the bulk of the Bible Belt in Saskatchewan, people are quite open. It's wonderful. It might be a little different in Alabama or some state like that.
Common enough. It's also like that. They're good, sincere people.
Yeah. I'd love to be in Alabama. But
we can arrange it.
I'd love to. It's just nice to see the transition. Like, the world has changed. And people have become more tolerant, more accepting. Maybe a little less experimental. But the people are willing very much to be our friends. And I really applaud the devotees here for being so nice and friendly. And, you know, a lamb on the chase, but a lamb at home, as Prabhupada used to say. And so you're bold and like, when you're out there, you have to be bold to be out there. But certainly you have to be humble in approaching people. But it really makes a beautiful mix.
Mm.
And it's a marriage. It's a marriage of boldness and weakness. Together. If it's hard to get out of the door, that's maybe a little inflated. But when you do push yourself to get out there, that's boldness. And once you get out there, and people, yeah, you have to be a bit humble. The public is also very smart. They can pick up on your vibrations, whether you're sincere or not. And I just commend all of you for doing such a nice job in the last few years. Both like Montreal, Toronto, wherever else we're doing things like that. Innovative book distribution in Canada. And I was just on the phone today with our Green Shore from Thunder Bay, population 100,000. And he never ceases to amaze me. His idea about getting books out, it's putting on a big festival on Lake Superior, the biggest lake in the world, in a place where people hardly know what India is about or our culture. Blonde hair and blue-eyed people, Finnish people up there. And he has got like 5,000-6,000 people coming to his Rathyatra where lots of books get sold. And it's just amazing how bold he is. And when I talk to this guy, he's a doctor, he's a normal guy, very quiet, and just you hardly can see his lips move. So it takes just humility and boldness at the same time to be successful in this process of disseminating Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Hare Ma!
Actually, although I've been in and out of distribution a lot, I'm also very, it's hard to get out. I really can identify with being prime. But some of the things that I use as crutches, well, first off, I wanted to mention this same class that Ramachandra Guru gave in New Vrindavan. He made a really good point about the super soul and how the super soul is in the hearts of all living entities. And Krishna actually wants everyone to come back to home, back to Godhead. So how Krishna is so much pleased to see you connect with another spirit soul and give them his message. So Krishna is pleased. You have the whole Siddhic succession and Srila Prabhupada, they are with you. And at the same time, I know you have our minds, which are always telling us, you know, after approaching so many people, there's something going wrong here, and it must be me. But some of the things that I do in between different persons is, first of all, if I'm really nervous or uptight at the beginning, I just hang on to going around with another book distributor or my wife, and just listen to someone who's like really fired up and get going. And to get a little momentum and to understand that actually it's actually very easy. You're connecting with the spirit soul and you just have to remember and think, they're all Krishna's friends, and we're bringing Krishna's friends back to him. And it's not so much you talking to them, but it's about you asking them questions and just getting related, like getting related to them, to what's going on in their life, and then always bringing it back to the book. And the other thing that I do is I try and go out with my bliss balls, and even if somebody doesn't take the book, I invite them to take the bliss ball, and so they get prasadam. And my most ecstatic experience was doing not the Warped Tour, but it was some big festival they do in Tennessee, and I just got into the momentum of just approaching all these different groups of young people, and first go over with the bliss ball and then show them the book. And I always start off with saying something about them, like, are you having fun yet? What's going on? How are you doing? And it just breaks the ice, and it lets you then know that you're present for them. Find out about them.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Realizations. So a couple of realizations. One is, as most of you know, we do a program called Tuesday Sangha every Tuesday. And many weeks, I hate to admit it's the first show program, but many weeks I'm very sluggish. Not wanting to come, and it's part of doing my duty. And when we come here, whether it be Anshul Prabhu or Puneet Prabhu, the days that you're most sluggish, you'll go downstairs to see where Anshul Prabhu is, and have a big stack of boxes of books on the lower shelf. Maybe you're not getting to your book room for some reason, while you're sitting there, and you wake up and say, well, they probably lifted all those boxes today, or they unloaded a truck, or they're preparing for something. And that brings you to the realization that there's so many devotees behind every book that gets distributed, whether it be BBT in LA or Radhaman Prabhu or Anshul Prabhu or all the devotees in the book room and people look for prasadam. And also when you're sluggish on Tuesday Sangha and you don't really want to go to Premier Word or something, lo and behold, Puneet Prabhu or someone will invite a few faces, you have to be, on the book. So you're constantly learning and constantly trying to go learn from the youngsters. And then back in December last year, for some reason, we were very busy, and we're supposed to go and do a bunch of Shastradan. And, you know, of course, last minute, October, November, probably email after email, they come and say, we're low, something. So then we go out there and I go over and tell, my mom, she and my sister, I tell my dad. And we come to my office to meet, and we kind of walk the door, and we kind of start something out. And again, I'm a doubting, we can't do it, it's too many books, it's kind of too late in the game. And we kind of walk our door and create a little war room, and the calls are banging out. And I start playing secretary, it's a humbling experience to play secretary. And I go and I start Googling the numbers, and my dad a number, and he's saying, I need this telephone number, Googling the numbers, and when Akshi goes up and starts making her calls. And I'm humbled just to go over and keep writing the scores down, and the scores start adding up, in 2 or 3 days, I say, what did Dad do? 7,000? And it's a 7,000, oh, Krishna, it is possible. And then we start going over your little pieces on the same kind of email, and then when Akshi starts picking up a call, and it was the most, I think, the 1 or 2 weeks of my most unproductive work life. And most productive secretary. And I was very humble. That little mark of my office turned into a little secretary thing, and it was very nice. So, and every day I feel unqualified to just read books. I feel unqualified to have an association with devotees, but it's very heartwarming that by everybody's mercy we're able to go and render some service to show up. So there was two devotees, Prabhupada disciples. They were at odds with each other for at least 30 years or more. They just didn't get along. And just the chemistry didn't work. And they just had differences of approaches to things in Krishna consciousness, different backgrounds and everything like that. And so one day, the son of one of these two devotees came to the hometown of the second devotee and contacted that person and said, we'd like to do some books in your town, Prabhupada's books. So that did transpire. That particular devotee, the son, organized a team to go to this particular town outside the GTA. And just when that other devotee, I'm not giving names right now, when he heard that the son of this archenemy was just reading Prabhupada's books, his heart melted. And those two persons had real difficulty for probably 3.5 decades. They actually got together. And they hugged each other and made up because this one devotee was sold on book distribution and just melted those hearts. It was so nice to see. I was there. We were doing a drama in that town. And that's where it happened. And so we give, let's say, gratitude, express gratitude to those devotees who made the effort at one particular family that's sitting in our midst. I don't know if it should have said or...
I don't know.
But in any case, it was so nice to see that if the magic was the books. Hare Krishna.
Hannibal! So this is an important exercise. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would send out his devotees every day to go door to door and ask people to join the Sankirtan movement. And then in the evening, they would come back and they would make a report. And each devotee would tell how many houses they went to, how many people they taught the Hare Krishna mantra to, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would encourage them. And this kind of, the kinds of realizations that are coming in the door here
cannot be manufactured. They're actually real, and we know it, and we feel the impact of them. And therefore, it's compared to, well, let's say I compare it to breathing. So the temple is an organism, let's say, and organisms have to breathe. So the breathing means that when you exhale, you go out. So you take out with you all the fears and inhibitions that you have when you go outside, just like when you exhale, you take out carbon dioxide. It goes out of your system. And it, also you breathe out impurities. That's how the blood gets rid of a lot of things through the pulmonary arteries. It goes through the lungs, and then it expels all kinds of toxins, you know, from your breath. That's why when you sit next to somebody who just drank alcohol, you can smell it coming out of their breath. And so you go out, and all those anartas, they get dissipated. And when you're out, just like an organism that breathes, picks up oxygen and brings it back in. So the oxygen that actually makes the temple vibrant, the organism vibrant, are these realizations and experiences that you can only get when you go out and you meet people and you go through you overcome the hurdles that are blocking you from doing this, and then you see for yourself the magic of Lord Chaitanya and how people actually want these books and how they change their minds and take them and how their hearts melt when they come in contact. And those vital experiences, then we inhale, we bring them back into the temple, we share them, and then they get into the bloodstream of the whole organization. And everyone hears about them, and that's what makes the temple vibrant, are these realized experiences that we have from going on in Sankirtan. Therefore, we're not doing Sankirtan just for the numbers, although it's nice because Prabhupada used to read the numbers. So we like that, and it's a way that we can see how our service is growing. Just like we chant Hare Krishna, but we pull down at least 16 beads a day. So we also care about the numbers. But primarily we think about how this is a purifying service. It's actually high sadhana to do this, to go on throughout your life, how it makes you want to read more. And the devotees have all said this in this assembly today, and we've become more enlivened. So we've grown together over the last 5 years, especially since we inaugurated the monthly Sankirtan festival. And what you've all achieved here through incremental improvements over the years has become an example for devotees all over the world. Whenever I'm at meetings, and the name Toronto always comes up for one of the examples of how through cooperative effort in Sankirtan, you can do something which is really wonderful. And so let's keep breathing and keep innovating and taxing our brains, as Prabhupada asked us to do, to give mercy to the living entities in the most powerful way possible, broadcasting the holy name through singing and through the Brihat Madanga, through written kirtan or literary kirtan, and distributing. As Prabhupada said, the temples are meant as bases from which we go out and fight with Maya. And then he said, fight with Maya means dropping hundreds and thousands of bombs in the form of these books into the laps of the conditioned souls. Gaur Premanande Haribo Vanchakalpadrubhascha Kripasanabhavacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman.